anxious to talk to my friends, Joe and Cindy Farini, who spoke nationally with Family Life's Weekend to Remember a Marriage Getaway for 20 years and join us regularly now for My Marriage Matters. Welcome back, you two.
Thank you. Good morning.
How are you?
Doing great. I love this juxtaposition you have today. You have, like, really, I think the way the world views a relationship contract versus the way Scripture talks about a biblical covenant. Why is it important, do you think, to talk about this?
Well, I think we need to just go back to the very beginning. I think we just need to understand that when God designed the marriage, He designed it to be a covenant commitment between one man and one woman and God for a lifetime. And, you know, it's a covenant that's based upon true love and loyalty. And as you know, making a covenant in the eyes of God is a pretty serious matter. Yeah. And we, once again, as married couples, and we as a culture, really need to begin to embrace the sacredness of that marriage covenant. And unfortunately, Brian, as you know, this word commitment has been replaced by the word convenience. And that really becomes that convenience becomes a centerpiece for many times what we see today in marriages, that it falls more under the category of a contractual type relationship. And, you know, one good example would be a prenuptial agreement. I mean, that truly going into that relationship, it's a contract that's being laid out, and people come together and they agree on certain stipulations and arrangements that need to be made. But there are other types of contractual relationships as well that we just need to understand, and really that becomes really more the focal point of why we see so many marriages today falling on really difficult times. And we can talk more about that, Cindy.
Well, I guess I'm not really sure where we want to go with that. Well, until we go with this, do we want to go through the list?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
yeah, okay. I think we should. But before we get there, I've seen this, and I'm sure you have as well in your work with Family Life's Weekend to Remember for so many years. I think we've lost sight in the church of really kind of clarifying what a covenant relationship is. And I've seen many people not even totally understand it and let worldly ideas kind of seep into Christian marriage.
Sure, absolutely. Well, why don't we just go ahead and dive into it and let's talk about what is a covenant relationship.
Yeah, let's do it.
And when you talk about a covenant relationship, what we're talking about is that two people have come together and they believe that God is the one that brought them together for His purpose. And they recognize that when they come together, they're receiving their spouse as a gift from God with all the imperfections and that kind of go with that. And then they leave behind the security of family or past relationships and commit wholeheartedly to this relationship that they're now in a marriage. And they cleave together. And it's a lifetime decision that they're entering into. And again, the benefit of this is just they get to weave in, if you will, sex as an expression of that covenant, but the foundation of that covenant is this understanding and agreement between a man and a woman and God, and it's a lifetime commitment. And that is really the centerpiece of what all marriages should be. And Cindy, you want to talk about the contractual type relationships?
Yes, sure. And so, you know, you take sort of the counterpoints to this. Joe talked about believing, receiving, leaving, cleaving, and weaving. So we take those same words. And by the way, I just want to interject here, too, that this contract and covenant list that we have, we will post it on My Marriage Matters later, but it comes from Family Life. This is not our own material. We're sharing something from Family Life, but it's such great material. And there is a conference coming up this weekend. I'll tell you about it at the very end. But anyway, for a contract relationship, and both the covenant and the contract relationship, you have a choice. You know, you're entering into this as a choice. And so the contract relationship, you know, you believe that we came together to make each other happy. And that's kind of really starting off on the wrong foot when you enter into a marriage, because unless you were, you know, under a rock someplace, you know that all relationships have challenges, all relationships, whether it's a sibling, a roommate, a friend, you're going to have challenges. So in marriage, you know, yes, you're going to have challenges. But in a contract relationship, they believe that we came together to make each other happy. And then in terms of receiving, you know, you receive your spouse as long as they live up to your expectations. And I'll tell you, we see that so often in little things, you know, things that could be remedied and taken care of and worked through, whether it be through counseling or other things, that people just are so surfacey, you know, like, yeah, if this doesn't work out, well, we can be done. And there's a danger to that. And then leaving, you know, the person in a contract relationship would say, you know, my options are open in case something goes wrong. Hey, if it doesn't work out, I'm out of here, you know. And then cleaving to each other as long as we feel love for each other. Well, that's dangerous because, you know, some mornings I wake up, I don't feel like getting up. I don't feel like I like myself, let alone my husband, my kids, my life. You know, you don't have all good days. And so, yeah, feelings are really difficult. And so you go into a contract relationship and you have to realize, you know, it's got to be for love, not just feeling like you want to love that person. And then lastly, the weaving in terms of sexual fulfillment in this contract relationship, you know, sex is the fuel for our love. It's not an expression so much of our love.
And you know, I don't even know how many times I've seen Christians innocently kind of buy into some of these things, especially the one where they believe the purpose of marriage is to make each other happy.
Right.
See it all the time. Have you guys seen that?
Oh, all the time. And we walk into this relationship in an understanding that we have these unrealistic expectations of each other. And unfortunately, many times they're unspoken, yep, expectations. And becomes one of those things you just kind of fall into. I mean, you sometimes don't walk into a marriage saying, well, this is going to be a contractual relationship. It's just something that kind of begins to evolve through that relationship, and you slowly drift into this type of a mindset.
Yeah. And I do think, too, a lot of times when people live together first, which is so prevalent, it's when we started with family life back when we first began, it was most people in that room were in the engaged session. Most people in that engaged session were waiting for living together and having sex until marriage. And then by the time we finished, I would say the table was totally flipped over to the other side. And there were few people in that room that weren't living together or that didn't even have children together already. And so you begin to see how that contract relationship it's just like what everybody does, leaving God out of the picture, right, almost completely.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. Let's take a deep dive here, you two, into a covenant relationship. How does that distinguish itself?
Yeah, great question. I think we need to, again, go back to the very beginning and understand that, you know, it was God that designed marriage, and he therefore defined what marriage should be. And God is the one, since he invented it, he knows best how to make this marriage thing work. And his instructions for a smooth-running marriage relationship, they're found in the Bible. And if we're not following God's guidelines, his principles, his blueprints for building oneness in a marriage relationship, we just naturally will begin to drift away from his plan. And so I think we just need to understand that ultimately this issue of between understanding the difference between a contractual relationship and a covenant relationship comes down to one's commitment to God and building intimacy with him. I mean, as we begin to really focus on building intimacy with God, and that flows over into a marriage relationship. And so if that issue is not being addressed and taken care of, it's going to be difficult to begin to even remotely resemble what a covenant relationship is. You just naturally will drift into this contractual, natural man type of thinking as it relates to a relationship and marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's go through the list here of juxtaposing the covenant relationship to the contractual relationship with those words you use: believe, receive, leave, cleave, and weave.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll start with the believe word. And in this particular situation, you believe that God brought us together for his purpose. And, you know, when Joe and I were dating, the very thing that we prayed was, will God use us better together individually or together as a couple? And so that's how we prayed. We asked, you know, would we be a part of his purpose together? And, you know, I don't know how many people actually pray that prayer or ask that of the Lord. You know, mm-hmm, they feel like they have a connection spiritually maybe, but are they asking the question, how will I be used for your purpose, Jesus? So that's the believing part. And then the receiving part, you know, my spouse with all their imperfections, as Joe said, I'm receiving you. I am receiving you as a gift. And that's one of the things that family life talks about, you know, that our spouse is a gift to us.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. And I would say added to that, we have to acknowledge that we enter with a significant number of imperfections.
Oh, definitely.
As well. And it's like two very imperfect people. But sadly, for some reason, we're blind to that, I think, in early on in relationships. I was.
Well, I think most people are, because when you're dating, you are putting your best foot forward. You know, you have those rose-colored glasses that you have on, and everything looks great. And so when things aren't going, you know, quite the way that you expected in marriage, you know, maybe the reason is because, you know, at the end of every date, you know, you parted and went separate ways. And then the next time you got together, you had this wonderful date and you had fun and so forth. And what I just said is not the reason that you should live together first. No, that is not the reason, because no matter what, you are going to learn of the imperfections of your future spouse, even in dating.
That's
However,
right.
We begin to overlook those a lot of times. And so, you know, the whole receiving part, it's a lifetime thing. I mean, it's a daily thing to say, you know, I do receive you. Because, you know, we've talked about this before. When you get married, you become a different person throughout your life, as does your spouse. And so sometimes, you know, people say, you know, this is my wife's been married to four different husbands and I'm the same husband, you know. So it's, you know, we do change. And there's a beauty to that, because in age, there's a lot of things that you see differently than you did when you were younger. That's really sweet. But also there's a lot of things that you have to understand. It's a daily commitment to each other, imperfections and all. And then the other next word would be to leave. And really, it's just leaving that security of your family and your any past relationships that you had. It doesn't mean that you don't have relationship with those people in terms of you're still part of your family, you still have family gatherings. But in terms of relationship, it's the two of you. The two of you have become one.
Yeah, you know, what gives you the confidence to do those things, Ryan, is a solid, grounded relationship with God.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, one of the main purposes for marriage was that we would become a mirror, or we would mirror or reflect God's image and in our relationship. And that's true for any relationship, but truly in a marriage relationship, as we begin to build together and draw together from each other's strengths, we begin to reflect who God made us to be in the first place. And that is absolutely critically important to help us to get through those rough edges, those difficult times.
Yeah.
And then at that point, we begin to see, and again, just as you can slowly drift apart from each other, you begin to slowly drift together as well and begin to cleave together as well. But it is all founded in a solid relationship with God. And that's why the center of our marriage conferences that we do is it all comes back to the importance of having Christ at the center of our marriage relationship.
Yeah, and that sounds cliche, I think, to some, but it really is true. When you put your spouse at the center of your life, which is so easy to do, things are disordered, and it will become disordered. We've got to have God at the very center of our lives, where we receive our worth, our value, our love, that primarily must come from Jesus, not our spouse.
Right, exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then lastly, the last word is weave, and with sex as an expression of our covenant. So what we love each other, and as we love each other, that sexual relationship comes to pass then in a different way than it would in a contractual relationship, which is where sex is the fuel for our love, not the other way around.
Yeah.
And I would just add here too, one of the books that we love to recommend is by Glenn Stanton, and it's called The Ring Makes All the Difference. And he goes through and he gives facts. He gives facts about how every aspect of our life, including our health and our happiness, is really tied to the whole idea in marriage that it is so important that there be that covenant relationship. And, you know, the world's going to make what the world's going to make, whatever kind of relationships it's going to be. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to be held accountable to the choices that you're making and how you're playing that out in your marriage or in any relationship. But when we read that book, The Ring Makes All the Difference, it was amazing to me. Probably one of the main points that stuck out that was so important was when a couple is living together and pretending, if you will, to be married, the woman's family totally embraces the guy's family because they look so forward to her being married someday and being protected and taken care of by a husband. You take the flip side of that, and I don't have any of the statistics in front of me because his book was pretty heavy on that, which was very interesting. But you flip that. The husband's family very rarely embraces the girlfriend or fiance the same way because they're just thinking, you know, this may or may not happen. Hmm. And so it's really interesting, the statistics that he puts out there, not only for young couples, but for older couples too, because as we've mentioned in many conversations here, the same thing happens with older couples, people who don't want to get married because they'll lose their, you know, whether it's a pension or whatever, you know, Social Security or something. We don't want to mess up our money situation. And that is really a slippery slope to not really having a covenant marriage.
Now, as I understand it, you mentioned earlier that there's a conference in town for those who want to really dig into this concept in their marriage relationship.
Yes, we're so excited that we get to be on today because it's this coming weekend, the 27th through the 29th. So we're glad we can express this excitement that it will be in town. And the best way to find out more about it right now, because it is last minute, is going to familylife.com and then just search for Weekend to Remember. And it's right on Rockside Road. It's at the Embassy. And it's a great location, lots of restaurants. So when you have your time to go over projects and things, you have plenty of options of places to go and things to do. But, you know, we spoke for 20 years for Family Life, and that ministry is just so high quality. They have great speakers. And the funny thing is when you go, you don't even know who's going to speak. You know, yeah. It's not like they're not bringing in a name for you. They're bringing in people who have something to say that's of value. And so the speakers will be high quality speakers giving you the information you need to know. You'll have conference time, but you'll also have time to work on projects that help you dig a little bit deeper into your own marriage. And really, we can't express enough just how important that ministry is and how many people, and we've seen it, how many people leave saying our marriage will never be the same because of this. And we so appreciate it. So we're happy to point people to familylife.com and check out Weekend to Remember.
Again, familylife.com. And then if folks want this chart you've got on a covenant versus contract relationship, I'm assuming that's available from you all as well.
I'm posting it as soon as we hang up from you on My Marriage Matters on Facebook.
Wonderful. Joe and Cindy Farini, as always, we're grateful for your time and expertise. Can't wait till next time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.